Hi, and welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. My name is Joseph G of Monotonous.net and Doraville.org. We're here to talk about Georgia politics. And with me today are...
Hello, I'm Catherine from Blog for Democracy, and I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
This is Decatur Guy from AtlantaPublicAffairs.blogspot.com.
My name is Nikki. I run my own blog at AlindaLux.com, and I'm also affiliated with North Fulton Drama Club.
Hi, this is Will Hinton, also known as Dignan from Dignan's 75-Year Plan.
And this is Joe Winter with JoeVentures.com and BlogLanta.com.
Well, thank you everyone for coming by and agreeing to participate. I'm really excited about this show. First off, I'd like to go back a little bit because in our last episode, we were still waiting for the Georgia State primary runoff elections to take place, and they have taken place. And the big upset was Cynthia McKinney is no longer going to be, regardless of who wins in the actual election, she's no longer going to be the congresswoman for the 4th Congressional District. And I just kind of want to get everyone here's take on that. Like, were you surprised? Were you not? Because we were so, there was so much discussion about that last time.
I was not surprised. It was difficult for me to find out that Mr. Johnson won because I was in Montana. I left for Montana that day, and I couldn't get any election results. I ended up calling my friends late at night to get the results. I'm hoping that Mr. Johnson will represent the 4th Congressional District well. There's some things that I had a lot of respect for Cynthia McKinney about, and I'm hoping that he will, for example, support the limiting the funding to the School of Americas in Columbus, and which is HR House Resolution 1217. Cynthia McKinney was a co-sponsor of that bill, and I'm hoping that, or that resolution, I'm hoping that he will follow in her footsteps on that. But it'll be interesting to see how he represents. I'm sure he'll win. I mean, I can't imagine there's any question about that. So it'll be interesting to see how he represents the district.
Well, I predicted it. I said 55-45, and he actually won 59-41, I think was the outcome. So if it's an upset, it's not an upset that he won. I think it's an upset in the margin that he won. And if you actually look at the precinct by precinct data, I think you'll see that McKinney's support, even in districts where she should have won by 90-95%, she just didn't get her voters out to vote, and that's why she lost. And I think her machine is a thing of the past, and I do not think that Cynthia McKinney will hold at least a congressional office ever again.
Do you think she'll run again?
She may next time. I also may see some other people run against Hank Johnson next time, because that seat has just flip-flopped back and forth so many times, it would not be surprised at all if a Vernon Jones or somebody like that ran against Hank Johnson.
Okay, I'm a little bit surprised maybe that Vernon didn't run this time. I guess he still has a little bit, he's still got a lot going on in DeKalb County as CEO right now.
I think people overestimated Cynthia McKinney's strength. If everybody knew how easy of a time Hank Johnson was going to have, I think there probably could have been an even stronger candidate than Hank Johnson.
He seemed like a real long shot at first.
Yeah, I think all you had to do, I actually, on the day of the runoff election, I spent a significant time that afternoon driving around South DeKalb County, in particularly into her stronghold, and it was remarkable to see how little of her organization was out and how much of Hank Johnson's organization had come together. Even just looking at signs and the supporters out, it was pretty obvious that he had really outdone her on the organization side.
I think she's, after it was all over and done with, the thing that I really noticed was that she was really shrill about it and had all sorts of wild hair excuses for what happened. You know, the voting machines are rigged against me, or it's crossover voters or whatever. And whatever you think about people voting in the quote wrong primary aside, all of that aside, I just think that she doesn't really have a lot going for her in the future. I mean, she may try to come back, and who knows if Hank Johnson really screws it up or if somebody vacates an office that might be easy for her to get into. But I think she's kind of getting far out on the edge of being a loon, and well, people are noticing.
I think she would have been done. She would have been done 2 years ago if Majette had just stayed in the race.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I think you see at this point, having lost two out of three primaries, Mm-hmm. You don't come back from that.
Well, one thing I hope Hank Johnson doesn't do is spend all of his time on kind of big showboating national issues. And I do hope that, as a resident of the 4th District, I hope that he actually kind of focuses on some issues that we have here and bringing back some, you know, transportation money and some other things, and actually being able to work with the people who are in power up there right now, so that we can get some stuff done for DeKalb County.
I want to echo that thought, and I think when you look at transportation dollars that are spent in Atlanta, and it's obvious a lot are going towards the north side of town, up 400, 285 on the north side, up 85 and 75, what did Cynthia do about 20? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of traffic there, and hopefully that's something Hank will do something about.
Yeah, and talk about driving and around in South DeKalb in general, just the infrastructure system, the road system down there it's like a third world country in some places. You'd never know you could see this sort of thing in Atlanta, and a lot of people in that area are right to be upset, not just about the quality of the infrastructure there, but of how they get treated.
Well, now that the primaries are over, finally, we've got the statewide election in November to look forward to, and probably the biggest race, or the one that's probably going to be talked about the most, is the governor race, Mark Taylor versus Sonny Perdue. I'm just kind of wondering what you guys think about that race, especially because I haven't really heard anything except for a kind of lame tagline from Sonny Perdue that I've seen on some bumper stickers, that's Sonny. But other than that, I haven't really seen too much about this race. So it seems kind of like it's on the back burner, which is a little odd.
Well, I think, this is Catherine, I think part of that is because Sonny Perdue has a lot of money and Mark Taylor has no money, and so they're all kind of keeping quiet, I guess. There was an article today in the AJC about all the money they're all talking about spending for education and transportation, and they've all got all these big plans for all this money, and granted there is, you know, some money available, but not nearly the amount that they're talking about spending. I had the privilege of seeing Mark Taylor earlier this week, and he talked a lot about money for education and for criminal justice and all this stuff, but I keep wondering, okay, where's that money coming from, and how are you going to try to, you don't have any money yourself, Mr. Taylor, so how are you going to sell that message? And it's disappointing that we spent all that money on the primary and now we have nothing to spend to fight back against Sonny Perdue. But I don't know.
You know, I actually find it, speaking of this idea of spending more money, I mean, there's kind of the irony of Sonny talking about that, particularly when you talk about a lot of conservatives that would traditionally support Sonny, and most of them are going to just kind of, say, well, that's okay because we want a Republican in office, and they're just going to go along in lockstep, and we're going to get our guy in there, and maybe he'll do what we're voting him to do, but... You know, just the irony there that so many people that they talk about fiscal conservatism, yet you have someone like Sonny saying, yeah, I'm going to spend plenty of money.
Well, in the transportation issue, I was hearing 2 or 3 weeks ago that we're not going to meet the clean air standards because it hasn't rained enough, and that's the only thing that saved us last year. So if we're not going to meet the clean air standards, how are you going to have any money to spend on transportation anyway? Because you're not going to be getting it from the federal government. But what we're going to do is we're going to invest in more highways so we don't subsidize public transportation. And that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But so the transportation issue might as well be dead.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get the federal money if they don't meet the clean air standards. And they're not going to meet the clean air standards, so...
Yeah, there's just too much traffic out there, so let's build more roads so we can create more of it.
With money we don't have.
Well, I think part of that problem is this mandate that they have to take the transportation money and spread it evenly over each congressional district, which I think really does hurt us here in Georgia tremendously. Mm-hmm. And we're not able... You know, of course, whatever money there is, they are putting towards highways. Yeah, we need more of those.
Well, that's pretty much all they can put it to, because it's written in the Georgia Constitution.
Yep.
You know, that all of the gas tax money can only go toward roads and bridges. It's not transportation funds. It's just roads and bridges.
This might come to a surprise to people at this table or people out on the airwaves or whatever they call them. That, but I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for. I'm a Democrat, but I'm no fan of Mark Taylor. I actually think that Mark Taylor might actually cause harm to some of the social views that I have. I think if Democrats lose the governor's, Democrats actually win the governor's seat and take it from the Republicans, that the radical right wing in the Republican Party in the legislature are going to be unleashed, and they're going to present Mark Taylor with all of these vicious anti-social legislation and make him sign those sorts of bills. Whereas right now, Sonny Perdue is, hate him as you will, is sort of a moderating influence. Having the governor's seat in the Republicans' hands is sort of a moderating influence on some of those social conservatives in the Republican Party. So Mark Taylor's going to have, he's not going to just walk and get my vote. He's going to need to earn my vote. He's going to actually need to do something for me. I'm not just going to vote for him because I'm a Democrat. And he needs to understand that there are a lot of people like me out there that aren't just going to vote for Mark Taylor because he's a Democrat. They're either going to vote for Sonny Perdue, which might be a minority, or they're just not going to vote at all.
Well, I think that's another important issue that is getting some attention, is that there are a lot of registered voters who are women, more than there are men. And Mark Taylor is not getting the kind of support from women, that from women Democrats, partly because of his attacks on Kathy, partly just because he hasn't been able to get his message out. And I think there's a great deal of concern from Democrats that women are not, either not, like you're saying, either not going to vote for him, vote for Sonny, or just not vote.
When he said in one of the debates, I can't remember which one, that he would consider signing an anti-gay adoption bill, I thought, well, if you're elected governor, they're sure going to pass one, and they're sure going to present you with one. And if you're not elected governor, they're probably not going to pass it. They're not going to see it as a political necessity to pass it. So why would I vote for you to be governor? It's... Why, Mark Taylor, if you're listening?
You know what I think? I think actually the story of this race is that it's kind of a non-story. I don't see anybody getting particularly excited about either candidate.
You have two fat, conservative, rural white guys.
I would have to agree. It's the same old, good old boy system that we've seen here. I don't see a big difference between either one of them. I'm not particularly excited about either one. I don't know that it makes a bit of difference.
So what are the chances for Ned Lamont in this race?
You know, I would sell my soul for somebody to come out on the Democratic or the progressive side, whatever we're calling it this week, and actually have a view and be willing. That was something that pissed me off so much about Kathy Cox. Could you please just differentiate yourself? Say what you think. Make the right decision, do the right thing. Because the minute she decided that, oh, well, special session is fine to protect ourselves from the homosexuals, whatever the hell that is about, at that point, I could have voted for the Easter Bunny. It made no difference to me because she refused to differentiate herself.
I think that's...
And no one will do it.
I think that's the big misconception that these, you know, Southern Democrats have, is they can't differentiate themselves from Republicans in any way. That they've got, you know, we're not asking them to toe the liberal social line. They don't have to agree with everything that we agree with. But at least throw us a bone here or there that it's not going to hurt you. And it can be done.
Come out with a backbone somewhere, yeah. Anywhere.
One issue, please.
Does anyone think that the scandals either on the Democratic or the Republican side are going to play much of a factor in this race? Or are they just going to kind of die down and be forgotten about?
You mean like the Lamb thing?
The Lamb thing with Sonny, or the car dealer who gave a lot of money to Mark Taylor?
I don't think they're, shall we say, sexy enough. I don't think they're the sort of things people will understand enough. And most people will view it as, oh, okay, this is just the typical political, let's try to throw some stuff against the wall against this guy and see what sticks. And I think that's how people see it.
Well, I also think that a lot of people think that that's one of the reasons people go into politics, is so they can get those sweetheart deals, mm-hmm. And they expect it from politicians. And I think like you're saying, that they don't differentiate themselves, the Democrats don't differentiate themselves enough from the Republicans to, for anything else to be expected of them.
I consider myself fairly educated. I've got 7 years of college, and I can't figure out whether Sonny Perdue got screwed or whether he's actually taking advantage of his office. It could have been this developer who sold Sonny Perdue a bad deal. I don't know.
Kind of the classic swampland in Florida deal, right?
There's no way that I know what that land that the appraiser in that county says is worth $180,000. There's no way for me to appraise that land to see whether it's actually worth the $2 million that Sonny paid for it. So until someone can present me that evidence, I don't know.
One thing that these scandals might do, I think, is possibly just decrease the interest in this race even more because, yes. I'm not that excited. I'll be honest, just speaking personally, I'm not that excited to vote for either guy either. And hearing stuff like this makes me even less excited to kind of go out and vote there. I probably will, but I'm just.
I really do feel like I need to say that. I do think Mark Taylor would be, I mean, I don't know everyone that well sitting at this table, but, and I understand your point, Decatur guy, but I do think that for progressive values and for ordinary people, I do think that Mark Taylor is probably a better choice. Maybe not by leaps and bounds, and strategically, I'm not sure that what you're saying, Decatur guy, is accurate. I'm not sure that they're going to really do that. I mean, I think that with Peach Kids and some of the other social issues that Mark is addressing in his, weekly in his message, I think are important things for us to evaluate and consider. And
we'll just have to see.
I know it's not easy to get excited about those.
And I will say that there's a long time to go. Yeah. And Mark Taylor might just be buying us time, so he's not spending money now. And I have every expectation that Mark Taylor will get 90% of traditionally Democratic voters back into the fold, probably only myself. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for Sonny Perdue. I'm just trying to make the candidates earn their way. But the other thing is that even in the Sonny Perdue's best poll, he's still only getting 53%. So can Mark Taylor cut the lead and have a chance when it gets into the last weeks of the election? It's still possible.
I think he needs to reach out to women, to the African-American voters, and to young people, especially in the next, 45 days, so people who are not registered can get excited about getting registered and then actually vote, because there's a lot of people who aren't even registered.
But he needs to be doing something different than he's doing right now.
Well, yeah,
that's not going to cut it.
It's not going to be hard. He's not doing anything right now.
He's trying to raise money.
He's trying to raise money.
Just kind of want to bring it up since this guy has been in the news a lot. Andy Young. Does anyone have any thoughts on his recent statements about Walmart or particular communities?
Andy Young, if you look at his career in total, is a good man. He's a good public servant. He's made some questionable choices this year, I think. He's getting older. I'm not going to... He doesn't have a track record like a Billy McKinney where I'm just going to throw him over the coals. I'm willing to accept his apology and move on. I think his statements were disgraceful and may have really showed a side of Andy Young that maybe some of us have never seen before that has been there all along. But, he's a human being, and I'm willing to accept his apology and move on.
I did hear a Korean American group in Atlanta said that it was all big misunderstanding or something. So,
I agree with the Decatur guy. I mean, I think Andy Young's generally someone of respect. I just kind of question how he's trying to position himself. This statement obviously I think was just a mistake. I was a little surprised how he came out for Cynthia McKinney. I mean, that actually was...
That's what I meant as questionable choices this year. Walmart, Cynthia McKinney.
I think that was all about Mark Taylor.
That was a lot more questionable than this, slip of the tongue that, I don't think reflects probably what he truly thinks.
Well, I think there's also something he said. It's funny because it was mentioned to me that this is not the first time Andy Young has pissed off the Jews. And I say this as a Jew. I don't even remember what the last time was. Maybe his apology.
When he was the United Nations ambassador, he met with a Palestinian group, and that actually got him fired by the Carter administration.
Oh, how lovely. All right. So, moving on. But in any case, they say, you know, once is just once, twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern. You know, we have Walmart, we have Cynthia McKinney, and then we have this statement, you know, going on, which he made in, you know, among an audience that he thought was, you know, fairly private. And it's amazing, you know, was he trying to rile up this audience? Was he trying to play to their fears already, which is not the Andy Young we know, certainly. But with Cynthia McKinney, why did he stand by her? Catherine, you said already that was completely about Mark Taylor.
Oh, I think it was about Mark Taylor. I think it was a way for Mark Taylor to gain support from the Cynthia McKinney people without coming out. Because Andy Young is his campaign, you know, co-chairman of his campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it was a way for Mark Taylor to gain support from McKinney supporters without actually coming out and supporting Cynthia McKinney.
If Andy Young had stopped in his statement, except for the last sentence, he would have been okay. If he had said, you know, Walmart's good because they bring in decent products to areas that have never had decent stores, have always provided stale bread and blah, 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 but had not singled out the Jews, Koreans, and Arabs for owning those stores.
Right.
It would have been fine because, and, you know, there's no element of truth.
Not to mention mom and pop shops aren't the only ones that have ever provided stale bread.
Well, there's more to the to the things to Andy Young's error.
Is he finding fear in his old age?
I don't know. I think that he's. I don't know.
One thing I read that
he also did support George Bush in 2004.
He gave money. I don't know if he voted for him.
Well, we don't know if he voted for him. He was actually right in front of me in line voting that morning. He lives right around the corner from me. But he did support George Bush. He gave him quite a bit of money. I think the limit. He also stood up on stage with him at the Georgia World Congress Center at a fundraiser on Martin Luther King's birthday. And I mean,
but then he supported Cynthia McKinney. So who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
He's a political animal, but
you know, you're right. I mean, he's lived a life of that is certainly respectful, and perhaps he's getting old.
What I read somewhere that I thought was interesting was "Internet meet Andy Young, Andy Young meet Internet."
Yeah, well,
is that, you know? I think if we went into a public library or something and looked back at maybe some quotes from people that are civil rights leaders in the past, some of their statements may have not gotten to the broader audience because the Internet's not instantaneously reporting it. And well, so, that, you know, I think
every little macaca you say,
yeah,
every macaca. Yeah.
It's amazing that in these days, that the whole line of playing to fear is starting to backfire. Whether you're Andy Young or Cynthia McKinney or I don't even remember this other Mr. Macaca,
George Allen.
Thank you.
That's true.
I read that and I thought, what in the world were you thinking?
Well, there's actually no good explanation. I mean, you know, some people say, well, it was this kind of obscure racist comment, which I don't actually give George Allen enough credit for knowing that. But on the other hand, it's kind of like him calling him a shithead. So is that good either? I mean, well, yeah, either way, it's no good.
His mother actually is of North African descent, so he probably should have known the term.
Either way, it was stupid.
Well, lots of little terms. I'm not even going to get into the Hezbocrats comment that Herman Cain made. But and we're actually running out of time, so I have to wrap this up. So, Catherine, sitting next to me, you're the first first person I'm going to call in for last thoughts.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for having us here today. It should be an interesting couple of months ahead of us. Hopefully we'll get lots of new Democrats registered to vote and win something in November. Preferably, at least I prefer we win the governorship and the lieutenant governorship, at least.
This is Decatur guy. I obviously think it's going to be an uphill road for any of the major Democrats to win, whether it's lieutenant governor or governor. I think we'll probably hold on to, you know, attorney general and labor secretary and possibly agricultural secretary, but that would probably be my prediction right now for the most that Democrats will win on a statewide basis, unfortunately.
This is Nikki. I think on the ag secretary, you're right, because Tommy Ervin is an institution into himself, mm-hmm. and I don't think anyone's going anywhere with that. I would like to see two of three, at least governor, lieutenant governor, and secretary of state. Any two out of three there would be fine with me. Overall, the thing that we didn't really talk about it, but I would like to see the state not waste our money on screwing around with Plan B and just let it go already. They've finally gotten it approved. You know, let's not go there with a lawsuit because you pass a stupid law that's going to prevent people from having access. And that would be what I hope doesn't happen.
This is Dignan, and I think we're going to see status quo. I think we're going to see the same thing the trend we've been seeing. I think the Republicans are going to win the statewide elections, and really by status quo, I think we're going to see the same old both parties playing to fear, really trying to fire up the base, not really seeking to find people willing to change their minds, but let's just get people to drink the Kool-Aid and do the same old thing.
This is Joe, and I think we're. I wouldn't say we're misdirecting too much of our energy, but I think it's about time that we also start looking a little more closely at the local races and the importance of Democrats really proving themselves on the more local governments.
Well, this is Joseph again. I just wanted to thank Thank everyone who participated on the panel. I want to thank everyone who's out there listening. Be sure to tune in next time. We'll talk at you later on the Georgia Politics Podcast.